Yes, no. One of the lines in the first verse says, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And that comes from the fact that the author of that hymn was on a ship one time, and his wife, I think his wife and four daughters, or maybe just his four daughters, fell overboard and drowned. And so he talks about those sea billows rolling. And I think it's such a tragic story, but it also, I think, when it comes to that hymn, to be able to say it is well with my soul, and to have an author that penned it, having gone through something like that, it gives a bit of like credibility, right? That it's not just the small things in life that we say it is well with my soul, but some of the big things as well. And I think that that song is a great modern interpretation of it, and very beautiful. And I just took Kathy's spot. I'm going to move over now so Kathy can read the scripture.
I was a little confused.
I just had to say that.
I like it. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Luke. It is the lament over Jerusalem. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God.
You to get your scripture insert out. It's a little half sheet so that you can make reference to it and notes if you want to. We're in the middle of our Lenten series, and the first 3 weeks we're talking about letting go of things, and then the second 3 weeks we're talking about growing new things. And so this week we're talking about letting go of fear, and we'll see how Jesus does that in this passage. So this passage is centered around two animals, a fox and a hen, not necessarily two animals that play well together, right? So we'll find out what's going on in this passage. But before we do, how many of you know that what it means to throw shade? Have you heard that term before, throw shade? The kids kind of say it these days. When you throw shade, it means to slam someone or to say something negative about them, kind of in a subtle way or in a way that's maybe more crafty. And I think it's a perfect way to explain what Jesus does to Herod here. He throws some serious shade. So we'll find out when and how. So the Pharisees, they're teachers of the law during Jesus' time. And they are the ones that know the law inside and out. And they're known as sort of goody two-shoes of the Bible, I guess. And they're telling Jesus, they're saying, "Get out of town, Jesus, because Herod wants to kill you," which is a pretty strong charge. And instead of running away scared, Jesus says, "Tell that fox that I'm casting out demons and performing cures, and on the third day I finish my work." So that's the shade that he throws against Herod. And those of us that are doing the book study, either online or in person, we actually read this passage in our readings for last week, and we learned that to call someone a fox during biblical times was pretty much the greatest insult you could give, particularly to someone in political higher up. If you were to call someone an eagle or a lion, that would be to give them a distinguished title. But to call them a fox is some serious shade. Jesus has no respect for Herod, and he has every reason to fear him. Now I'm just going to take a little bit of a side detour about Herod, because there are a bunch of Herods in the Bible. I think there's 6 of them. And if you get them confused, it doesn't really matter, because all of them are bad guys. So it's not necessarily a problem if you confuse them, but I think it's kind of interesting and it adds a layer of depth to know this. So this Herod that we're talking about in this story is the son of the Herod who tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby. This Herod is called Herod Antipas. And like all of the Herods, as I just said, he's cruel. He's a dictatorial leader. He's known for killing John the Baptist, among other things. And like all dictators in any time, in any place, Herod Antipas was concerned when there was any threat to his power and rule. So the Pharisees are absolutely not exaggerating, and they're not wrong when they warn Jesus to get out of town. But Jesus shows no fear. Tell that fox, I'm casting out demons and performing cures, and then on the third day, I finish my work. Now our ears, which hopefully over years of Bible study and years of being in the church, might hear a little tingling in our ears when he says that about the third day, because we know what that means. On the third day, when he finishes his work, he's talking about rising from the dead on the third day. He has no fear, even in the face of a tyrant leader. And in contrast to Herod the fox, we have Jesus, the mother hen. Now, that's the second part of this passage. It's a short passage, but it has 2 distinct parts. So the first part, get out of town, tell that fox I've got work to do. And now this second part starts like this. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. This is what our cover image is depicting here, and you can read more about that image in your insert or out in the Nelson White room. It's a really lovely image of protection and care, this putting your little chickies under your wing. And it's in sharp contrast, to Herod's leadership. Whereas Herod is in the business of killing prophets and stoning them, Jesus is in the business of protecting the vulnerable chicks. I have, there's a author that's an Episcopal priest named Barbara Brown Taylor, and she is also a farmer, which helps her to understand some of these passages about animals. And she writes this: a hen is what Jesus chooses, which, if you think about it, is pretty typical of Jesus. Jesus is always turning things upside down so that children and peasants wind up on top, while kings and scholars land on the bottom. Jesus is always wrecking our expectations of how things should turn out by giving prizes to losers and paying the last first. So of course he chooses a chicken, which is about as far from a fox as you can get. That way, the options become very clear. You can live by licking your chops, or you can die protecting the chicks. The image of God as hen is finally one that lays bare God's vulnerability. When you are the mother hen, all you can do is open your wings wide and gather as many as you can. End quote. So Jesus' way is the way of protection. He opens up his wing and the chicks snuggle under it. It's not the way of Herod. It's the way of peace. Interestingly, and in contrast to the reality, the city of Jerusalem, which you pronounce Jerusalem in Hebrew, has the same root as the word shalom. What does that mean, shalom? Peace. So Jerusalem means city of peace. But with Herod Antipas driving the bus, peace is very far from reality. It's sad to realize that Jerusalem, Jerusalem, even now, 2,000 plus years later, is so far from being a city of peace. Some believe it will never be a place where there is peace, because so many different faith groups claim it as a holy space, and we haven't yet learned how to get along together as one. This text invites us all to decide what kind of leader we'll be. Will we stand for empire like Herod, or will we take a more faithful but potentially dangerous stand like Jesus? Barbara Brown Taylor again. Jesus won't be king of the jungle in this or any story. What he will be is a mother hen who stands between the chicks and those who mean to do them harm. She has no fangs, no claws, no rippling muscles. All she has is her willingness to shield her babies with her own body. If the fox wants them, he will have to kill her first, which he does, as it turns out. End quote. Sometimes standing up for peace means being exposed to danger, and there's really no way around this, unfortunately. Those in our society who have stood up for what is right and who have stood up for peace have historically faced some pretty grim consequences. Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Jesus. We don't want to idealize their sacrifice, to be sure, but neither can we be afraid to stand up for peace and justice. Where in our society might God be calling us to stand up like a mother hen, protecting the vulnerable under our wings? I bet we can come up with a few examples. What about our PADS guests? Where are they in need of protection and shelter? Not just the literal shelter like we offer on Saturday nights, but shelter of a different kind. Where are their lives made difficult in ways we might not even be able to imagine? This week, there was an article in the Atlantic magazine called "Medieval Diseases Are Inflicting California's Homeless." In it, a woman named Jennifer Miller is profiled. It says this: Jennifer Miller keeps trash bags and hand sanitizer near her tent. She regularly pours water mixed with hydrogen peroxide on the sidewalk nearby, keeping herself and the patch of concrete she calls home clean is a top priority. But in this homeless encampment off a Hollywood freeway ramp, it's often littered with needles and trash soaked in urine. Rats occasionally scamper through, and Miller fears the consequences. I worry about all those diseases, said Miller, 43, who has been homeless most of her life. Did you catch that last part? Who has been homeless most of her life. Can you imagine? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, Jesus says. I wonder what kinds of issues face the homeless right here in Elmhurst. It's okay if we don't know yet. I'm not entirely sure. One way to find out, though, is to spend some time interacting with our homeless guests. It's not just the to-dos that we have to do, bringing fried chicken and pizza. It's the ministry of presence. We need to get to know our guests. We need to invite questions, hear their stories. And what of other populations beside the homeless right here in our neighborhood? What other populations need us? Children, orphans, immigrants? What about our Islamic neighbors? We've all been horrified to see and learn about the mass shooting this weekend in New Zealand. What can we do to show solidarity? I'm going to read at length the words of a Muslim woman named Viana Goodwin, who tells her story. Ms. Goodwin lives in California. It's a long passage from her, but it's important. So hear these words from Vienna. I'm going to share something I don't normally share. I used to attend one of the larger mosques in San Diego. It was beautiful and was one of the few places I felt at peace. I took my young niece every week, and she couldn't wait for us to don our hijabs and drive to the mosque for Friday services, community, and a meal many of us would share together. But then the hate started. I won't share everything that happened, but one day someone duct-taped firecrackers to the underside of several cars while we all prayed. Luckily, they didn't cause the cars to explode, but it changed everything. More things happened, forcing us to hire security guards around the clock to keep us safe. Things began to happen to me outside the mosque, and one day someone saw me driving with my hijab on and ran me off the road with a toddler in the back seat. I realized that exercising my freedom of religion and practicing a religion I have practiced in rural Kentucky without issue was putting my family in danger. I stopped wearing hijab and I started parking really far from the mosque and walking down the winding streets, stopping to cover my head just before I entered because I was so scared, not for myself, but for my family. As time went on, things got worse. I couldn't listen to the khutbah any longer without watching the door and wondering if today was going to be the day they would stop trying to get us in our cars and attack us when we were sitting ducks. I moved to Texas, and the haters were even more vocal here. My middle child came home crying because the world cultures teacher told the class that all Muslims were terrorists, no matter what we said to try and hide who we were. My children were bullied for who I was, and I withdrew even more. Then the shootings and the fires started. No one was safe. Nowhere is safe. And this feeling that you have right now, this is how some of us feel every time we leave our homes, because every Friday could be our last. You cannot be an ally if you shy away from confrontation. When your family members and friends joke about stereotypes and you avoid conflict, you feed the beast. We need all of you to speak out. We can't be the only ones who stand up to the hate. This is the time when allies make a marked difference. We need you to stand up, to say there is no such thing as a harmless joke or a funny stereotype. We need you. Your voice matters. Please speak up and don't stop until this world is safe for us all. End quote. Friends, tonight at 6 p.m. at the Villa Park Islamic Foundation, there will be a prayer vigil. I'm unable to attend, but I really hope that we will have a presence there from EPC. If you are able to attend, please let me know, and I have some information for you. If you're unable to attend like me, please make sure to sign the card that we have out in the Nelson White Room, a card of solidarity and support. Jesus is not afraid to expose himself to criticism, even danger, by protecting the vulnerable. How much more might we choose to do the same? Join me in praying that God will continue to use us in advocating for those who need protection and shelter. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for the opportunities that you have given us right inside our church building and right near to us. Help us to be bold and brave to stand up for justice and peace wherever it may be found. May we think about our homeless friends and visitors who come to be with us every Saturday night. May we think of the ways that we can protect and advocate for them in their vulnerability. And may we also reach out to Muslim neighbors and stand up for what is right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.